Mark chapter 10. Everybody have an outline? Hold them up. I was going to sing a special song. Brother Bob, bring your guitar. I'll bring my guitar. I'll even bring my banjo. Okay? So, I'll bring my banjo tonight. Okay? If that gets one extra person out, I'll play the banjo. She does? All right. Well, I'll do it. Just for her. All right. I'll do it just for her. Boy, I hope I don't forget. Lord, help me remember my banjo. Never mind. Just tell my wife. That's all you got to do. She has been absolutely fantastic. I have to say that. Mark chapter 10. Everybody got it? All right. Now, get some of those tracts, folks. Get some of those tracts and give them out. Let folks know. Mark chapter 10. I was going to sing a song. How about if I do this? I'm going to sing this. Don't make fun of me. Don't cringe. I'm going to sing this a cappella. Okay? It goes like this. It's actually about this passage. It goes like this. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are washed away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. And so today, we find the Savior able. We cannot conquer passion, lust, or sin. Our broken hearts have left us sad and lonely. But Jesus comes to dwell Himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are washed away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. And that's the story of this particular scripture we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about blind Bartimaeus. We're going to talk about Bartimaeus. Let's say, how many have never heard of Bartimaeus? Never heard of him. It's all right. Be honest. Most people haven't. How many have heard of Bartimaeus? Okay. We're going to talk about Bartimaeus. He is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But he's only named in Mark. Only named in Mark. Okay? Mark chapter 10. And verse 46. Mark 10:46. And I want to read verse 46. And you read verse 47 with me. We'll go through 52. All right? And they came to Jericho. Are you with me, everybody? Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. You see that? You know, we see some of that here, don't we? We see some of that here. People coming up from where? Mexico, or they've fallen hard times. It seems like almost every median you pull up, there's somebody there with a sign. Homeless, help, help me, you know. And every one of them got, I saw one the other day. The guy said, I'm honest. I just want another beer. You know, he just put it right on the sign. At least the guy was honest, you know. Okay. But here was Bartimaeus. He sat by the highway. They didn't have medians back then, so he had to sit by the side of the highway. And when he heard, let's read verse 47 out loud together. Ready? And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Everyone? And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Everyone? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen? What a wonderful passage. And if you want to write at the top there, the title of this message is How to Change. How do we change? You know, we all find ourselves in a position of life where, you know what, there's things we want to change in our life, isn't there? And we live in this power-crazed society. You know, a few years ago, there was this family program, Home Improvement. You ever see that? You know, Tim the Tool Man. His kids used to call him Tim the Fool Man Taylor, right? Okay. And he'd come out in this little, in his cable show, and they'd say, what'd they say? We got this chainsaw, but now I got this big chainsaw. What'd they say? More power. More power, right? Okay, everybody wants more power. Whether it's in the car, how many miles per hour it'll go, how many horses it has under the hood, or your computer, you know, how many gigs does it have in the hard drive, how fast is the RAM or the ROM, you know, and all of that. What, you know, how much power does it have? What can it do? Right down to, you know, how fast you can run, or how's your golf score, or whatever. We want more power, don't we? Well, there's only one place, though, folks, that we can go for the power to change. The story of blind Bartimaeus shows us how to change. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5, she's coming to the altar early. Anybody want to follow her? All right. Okay. All right. She's okay. We're having a good time. 2 Corinthians, we're all in the nursery today. We're all in the nursery. Amen? We're all going to learn something. Okay? Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Bob, let's say it together. Therefore, if anybody knows it, say it with us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Literally, all things are becoming new. Right? It's a linear thing. That doesn't mean when I get saved that everything is totally rosy and peachy and I'm holy and righteous and never sin again. No, he's saying that, okay, you're now started on the road. You're headed in the right direction. And all things are becoming new. One of the first things that changed in my life, my music dropped off. That old acid rock music that I used to listen to. I'm talking about the Grateful Dead and Jefferson Airplane, Country Joe and the Fish, and Mama Mae Thornton and the Flea-Bitten Hound Dogs, and all the rest of them. My music changed, folks. Music was my life. All right? I noticed that I used to love being in dark rooms, you know? And now I love being in a light room, you know? Men love darkness rather than light. When I got saved, I wanted to be in a light room. I wanted to be of the day. These things, certain things changed. My conversation changed. Okay? The filthy, vile words that I used to use, they just began to drop off. You know? This is what, you know, we change. If you haven't had a change in your life, you might want to check out your salvation. You can't have Jesus, you can't have the divine nature of Christ come in without it changing you. Okay? And so, here is a man that is a picture of all of us. Here we are. I was a blind beggar. I wasn't a beggar, but I was blind, okay, by the highway of life. Here I was, blind, okay? I didn't know. I can remember, folks, and you're not going to believe this. It's true. Gospel truth. I went into a store one day with my buddies. We were working on the ranch down in California. And a couple of guys came in. And Jim and Jenny, who's now a multi-millionaire now, I prayed for him yesterday, because he's in the liquor business now. And he said, "Hey," he said, "look at those guys." And I said, "What about them?" He said, "Those are the Bible bangers. Those are the nutcases. Those are the Christians over there." And I started making fun of them myself. You know? Well, little did I know that one day I'd be a preacher. You know? And we just had a time with them. "Hey, where's your Bible? Huh? Hey, you sissies!" You know? Oh, we gave them a hard time. Oh, my. To this day, I feel so bad about it. I still feel bad about it 38 years later. It's a long time ago. Clear as a bell in my mind. You know? But you know what? When Jesus came in, He changed me, folks. And I'm thankful that He changed me. All right? I'd love to find those Christians now, if they're still around. All right? So, first of all, I want you to notice that we are to assume. How do we change? How can we change? How can we change in our lives? How can we change in our families? How can we change in our job? How can we change in our church? First of all, assume personal responsibility. Assume personal responsibility. See, we live in a nation of victims, right? Everybody's a victim. And everybody, the reason they do things. And I'm not saying that there aren't valid reasons why people do stupid things. But the fact of the matter is that we have an old nature, right?
Yeah.
Okay? And you know what? I didn't smoke a joint or a cigarette or drink a beer because I was abused as a child. I did it simply because I was a sinner and I wanted to do it. I'm not going to blame my parents. Okay, I could say, "Well, I want you to know, folks, that my folks had a liquor cabinet filled with all kinds of liquor." Okay? And I could blame it on them, you know, if I wanted to. The fact of the matter is the fact that they drank did not mean that I had to. You know, nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions anymore. Everybody's got some silly... not necessarily even silly. It might even be valid. I realize that certain people... Why do we have so many homosexuals / sodomites? Why do we? Because mother was dominant in the home, or there's a certain gene in their body or something. Listen, if my mother was a cocaine addict, okay, and I was born a cocaine baby, would that make it right that I would be a cocaine addict the rest of my life? No. The fact that maybe, my dad wasn't an alcoholic, but let's say my dad was an alcoholic. Does that mean I have to be one? No. I have the choice to do what I did. And I take responsibility. All right? But we don't have that anymore. It's not the buck stops here anymore. It's the buck stops there. It's always somebody else's fault. Assume personal responsibility. Okay? Bartimaeus did. Do not be distraught by your limitations. Not distraught by your, if you want to fill in there, limitations. Or, if you want to put in there, disability. I have a message called Disability or God's Ability. The most powerful Christians I've ever known had certain disabilities. The most godly organist that I've ever had
Marcy Munson was blind for most all of her life. She couldn't see me, which was probably a blessing, but she could see Jesus quite well. Amen. And the first person that she could see when she passed on into glory was the dear face of Jesus. And she got her sight back. Amen. And somebody could say, well, why didn't you pray over her? Why didn't you anoint her with oil? Bless God. Why didn't you get her sight back for her? You know, like Johnny Erickson Tata, you know, who's in the wheelchair, you know. She would go to certain conventions and some charismatic would come up to her and say, well, didn't you have enough faith to get out of that wheelchair? And she would say, you know what? If I read in my Bible right, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Don't you have enough faith to get me out of this wheelchair? The fact of the matter is Johnny Erickson Tata is a queen, and that's her throne. She's extremely powerful because she's an example of somebody who is in a wheelchair that does not have bitterness but has joy in her life. What a message. What a life message. So we all have, quote, disabilities. We all have limitations, don't we? We all have those things in our lives that draw us back. But see, in Bartimaeus, he could have sat by the roadside and stuff. He could have said, you know what? I'm never going to be able to change. I'm going to be living this darkness the rest of my life. I'm going to be here and nothing's going to ever happen. And that's the attitude a lot of people have, isn't it? So here he was. They came to Jericho. Now you have to understand Jericho. Jericho was down. Jericho was down from Jerusalem. Had the privilege of being in Jericho. Jericho was what? What happened to Jericho? Anybody know? Walls came tumbling down. That's right. So they showed us the wall that came tumbling down. The excavation of the wall. Okay. What else happened? You want to sing it, don't you? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down. Right? And they did. Who else was there? What else happened in Jericho? Anybody remember? Jericho was actually kind of a wicked place. There was a short man there. Anybody remember his name? Who? Zacchaeus. Remember? Zacchaeus. And he climbed up in the sycamore tree. Dr. Sanders made me climb up into that tree so people could take pictures of me. I was Zacchaeus in Jericho. Get up there, you know. And Jesus passed by and Zacchaeus came down. But also we have this man, Bartimaeus. And he was by the roadside. He was waiting. He was waiting. And he heard what was he heard something was happening. Something was going by. He said, blind Bartimaeus. And when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Here he is. He began to cry out. What did he say? Anybody know? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Okay? And so he started to cry out, didn't he? And let me ask you, I want to ask you personally, what did the people around him say? Shut up, be quiet. Jesus doesn't want to talk to you. You're just a blind beggar. He's not interested in you. What they said. Be quiet. He's busy. He's moving on to Jericho. He doesn't have time for you. Don't you see all the people gathered around him? Don't you see that everybody wants to see him? You're insignificant. Sit down. Be quiet. What did he say? He saw, you know what he thought in his mind, folks? He thought, this is my only chance. He could have said, you know what? He could have said, well, I guess you're right. Well, with me. I guess you're right. I better shut up. Nothing ever. You're right. I'm just a little blind beggar. Nothing's going to happen. Thank God he had the courage and the resolve and the determination to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Didn't he? Listen, that dry, dusty area is just like Tucson, Arizona. Very little water there. Lots of beggars. Okay? He assumed personal responsibility. He had a determination. He wasn't distraught by his limitation. He realized, I can't see, but I can talk. I can cry out. He might not be able to see me even, but he can hear me. And I'm going to make above the crowd, the people that are telling me to shut up, I am going to rise up with my voice and I'm going to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And look what it says. And many charged him that they should hold his peace. But what did he do? He cried the more, a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He knew the answer. He had a determination. He had a desire. Put it in there. B, desire. Number two, believe you can change. He believed he could change. Amen? He had that determination in his heart. He knew that he could change. And B, under that, we need to believe in God's Word and His power. We need to trust in God's Word. Exercise your faith in the principles of God's Word. Exercise your faith in the principles of God. And realize that God can change your life. Maybe you can't change. I find it interesting. It says over there in James, it says, the tongue can no man tame. Right? You know what that says? The tongue can no man tame. But then it says over in Acts chapter 2 that it is set on fire of hell. In Acts chapter 2 it says they had cloven tongues as of fire. So our tongues can be set on fire of hell or our tongues can be set on fire of heaven. Here's the thing that we need to understand about our tongue. We can't tame it, but God can. See, God can tame our tongues. God can change our language. God can change our verbiage. Okay? All right? So, the Scripture says here that many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And what does it say in verse, this is very important, verse 49, what does it say? We're almost done. And Jesus stood still. Right there. I want you to underline that. I read an entire message by C.H. Spurgeon on those three words. And Jesus stood still. Amen. One of the first few places in all the Bible where it says Jesus stood still. Here's Jesus. The crowd. Come on up here, Christopher. Come here. Kind of John. He's working out now. And I want you to kind of. We're going to move that way. And maybe Clyde, come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here, Clyde. Okay. And we're going to move that way. All right. And I want you to move real close to me. And just kind of knock me in the shoulders. Come on, while we're moving. Come on, we're moving that way. Come on, knock me in the shoulders. That's it. That's it. And that's the way it is. Only figure there's 1,000 people around this place. Okay? 1,000. Okay? And here's this beggar over here. And Jesus has got these people jostling him. Let me just touch you so I can be healed. Wait a minute. I'm having trouble in my life and I need you to counsel with me. Jesus, I know you have the... I want to talk to you about my spiritual life. And he has all of these people and they're walking and they're jostling. And here's the beggar. And he asks somebody, who is that coming? Oh, that's Jesus. I've heard about him. Jesus, thou son of David. And he cried out the more. And he realized what he really needs. Mercy. Mercy. And what is mercy? Write it in there. Mercy is God not giving us what we what do deserve. Grace is what? God giving us what we don't deserve. Write it in there. Pretty simple. We need both. We need, first of all, the mercy of God. And then we need the what? The grace of God. Okay? Realize what you really need. First of all, you need mercy. And he had the right idea, folks. He cried out for mercy. I want to tell you something. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. If you start crying out for the mercy of God, Jesus is going to stand still. He's standing there waiting to hear from you. I don't care if you're the most vilest sinner. I don't care how wretched and filthy and vile you are. God wants to hear the cry of the needy sinner, the needy person. And you know what? That doesn't change after we're saved. We still need to cry out for mercy. And we still need to cry out to God. Go read Psalm 107. And so, this is very important, number four, quickly. So, realize what you really need is, first of all, the what? Mercy of God, and then also the grace of God. And then quickly, number four, stop what? Stop worrying about what others will say. Amen? Stop worrying about what others will say. What will my friends think? Okay? Brother Mo was giving the testimony the other day. He's walking down the street. He saw an old friend, didn't you? And what did he say? You need not to take this so seriously, right? This thing of Christianity. Moderation, right? Didn't somebody say to you, Alex, somebody very close to me, you need to be more moderate in your Christian life. Don't be so crazy about it. You know, in other words, just practice part of the Bible, the ones that are convenient, right? Okay? And don't tell anybody about it. Just live a silent witness, you know? You don't talk about it to anybody else. Don't be too crazy. Take a drink once in a while. Have a cigarette here and there. You know? No, I want to tell you something. You're either out and out for Christ, or you're off. Now, listen to me. Stop worrying about what other people are going to say when you go out and out for Jesus Christ. What you need to worry about is what does God think of your life, not what the world thinks. Okay? See, I'm not living my life to get a star on Hollywood sidewalk. Okay? Okay? I'm not here for the fame and acclaim of the world. We're here to please Him who purchased us with His own blood. And quit worrying about what somebody else is going to think. I know that's what keeps people from coming to Jesus. What will my friends think? I won't have my friends. No, you're going to have the first friends of your life if you get saved. If you trust Christ as your Savior. Yeah? I'll tell you what, I didn't have friends until I got saved. I had acquaintances. I had people who were dragging me down to the sewer. Thank God when I got saved, I had a whole family of God of millions of people. And the fact of the matter is I was closer to my Christian brothers and sisters in Christ than I could be to my own family. Okay? Stop worrying about what others will say. Number five, stop waiting for the right circumstances. Okay? Stop waiting. Get to it. Get to Jesus. All right? Make a decision. Number six, quickly, stop waiting for the right circumstances. And you know, he didn't wait for the right circumstances. Well, you know, Bartimaeus, he could have said, well, I'll just wait until he comes back through and until he comes right to me. No, Bartimaeus said, I'm going to go to him. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to cry out to him. And they call, be of good company. Notice it says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Number six, quickly, take definite steps of action. You want to change in your life? You want to change in your marriage? You know what? Every marriage could be better, including mine. I could treat this lady better than I do. Every marriage can be better. Did you know that? Amen? Pretty quiet in here. I said every marriage could be better. Every wife could be a better wife. Every husband could be a better husband. Every parent could be a better parent. Why? Because we're sinners. We need to take definite steps of action. All right? Leave the life of sin. Notice he says, the Bible says here, he said, be of good comfort. He rises, he calleth thee, verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Amen? What a great picture of somebody coming to Christ and being saved. You know, we need to leave the life of sin. You know, remember, the disciples had to leave their nets. Matthew had to leave his table. The woman at the well had to leave her water pot. Paul had to leave the Sanhedrin. And you know what? That's called repentance. We need to leave sin and we need to trust Christ. Okay? And then, notice it says here, tell him specific. Rise up, number one, leave the life of sin. Number B, rise up. Luke 15, 18 to 20, like the prodigal son. He came to himself. He said, I will arise and go to my father. And he came. Right? And come. Cry out to him. Tell him specifically what you want and do it now. Number seven is do it now. I didn't think I was going to get through it. Do it now. Don't do it later. Do it now. Let's quickly go. And so what does he say? Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? When you cry out to God, say, Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus is going to stand still. He's going to wait. He's going to say, what do you want? You better say the right thing. Let's go to Luke 15 quickly. Luke chapter 15. Let's stand together. And I'm going to be done. Luke chapter C and D is come. And D is cry out to him. Tell him specifically what you want. He asked him, what do you want? You're crying out to me. What do you want? That I might see. And do it now. Do it now. That's number seven. Do it now. So now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. There is no tomorrow. Did you ever notice that? There is no tomorrow. Yesterday is in the womb of time. Tomorrow is in the tomb of time. Excuse me. Yesterday is in the tomb of time. Tomorrow is in the womb of time. All we have is now. Right? Okay. So let's live for the now and now. And let's make sure what we do is now for Jesus Christ. Notice it says, we got the prodigal son. So he spent all. There arose a mighty famine in the land. Verse 17. And he came to himself. That's what you need to do, friend. You need to come to yourself. You need to realize you're going the wrong direction. Now, we all have different backgrounds. I was reared in a upper class home, in a upper middle class home. Dad was a nuclear physicist there, as many of you know. That we firmly believed in higher education, bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, doctor's degrees, if you can, all that stuff. But there was something about all that didn't impress me whatsoever. I just wanted the answers to life. Amen? I wanted the deeper answers to life. Okay, Luke chapter 15. So here it is. He came to himself. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Verse 18. Let's read it out loud together. Luke 15, 18, everybody. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. What did he do? Verse 20. And he arose, came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, listen. He came home and his father fell on his neck and said, come, bring forth the best robe, put the ring on him, shoes for his feet. Let's have a feast. You know what? The father's waiting for you, friend. See, are you going to be like Naaman? Be too proud? But the thing about Naaman is, he overcame his pride, didn't he? And he went down in the Jordan and he came out clear and white, just like a baby. It's like this little girl. You know what? You can change. Things can change in your life if you let them. If you'll call out to Jesus, who's passing by right now, and he'll stop and wait to hear from you. Some of you need to be saved. You need to say yes to Christ today. Not tomorrow, not later. You need to do it now. Some of you need to say, you know what? I haven't been living for Jesus. I haven't been scripturally baptized. I need to do that. I haven't joined with this church. I want to encourage you to do so. Take a step forward for Christ, will you? Blind Bartimaeus did. He didn't care what anybody thought. He just wanted the answer. He wanted to get things right and get them settled. And he didn't care what it cost. Mel Trotter went down to Lake Michigan to cast himself into that massive lake to kill himself. And while he went down to the beach, a piece of paper came, the wind. Everybody knows Chicago, the windy city, right? And that piece of paper, he looked down, came up against him there. It was a tract. Something about, if you die today, are you sure you go to heaven? He began to read that tract. And he got saved right there by Lake Michigan. And Mel Trotter went on to found the Mel Trotter Mission and start the Rescue Mission Ministry across America. I'm telling you that even though he was a drunkard, and a no good for nothing, he said yes to Jesus by Lake Michigan and got saved and started the entire Rescue Mission Ministry. And millions of souls have come to Christ because he said yes to Jesus by Lake Michigan. And you can do the same, if you would. Father in heaven, thank you for blind Bartimaeus. Thank you for his message. Lord, the simplicity of it, that he didn't let his disability or his limitation keep him from crying out to the King of Kings. Thank you for changing his life. Thank you, Lord, for giving him his sight, not only physically, but spiritually. Thank you for these patient, wonderful people who are here today. Bless them, Lord, I pray. And Lord God, help us to remember that there can be change in our life for the better. There can be change in our church for the better. There can be change in our families forever. There can be change in our marriage forever for better. There can be change at work for better. We don't have to be caught in this dungeon, this jailhouse of despair. Change some lives today, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.